On a dusty road on the way to Corto, there is an unlikely caravan of people, a riot of colour and activity, even in motion. However, there are two figures trailing behind them, not separate, but apart.
You know, those stunts you pulled off in the show were really cool. I don't know how you managed to find the time to learn all these things, the shooting stuff and knowing so much about so many different topics. I wish I had that same kind of drive sometimes.
I mean, the learning things thing has been a thing for a while now, since I was really young.
A complicated expression passes over Emlyn's face, only for a split second.
Did I say something wrong? I did mean it as a compliment, I promise.
No, you're good. It's just... being smart was one of the only things my parents were actually proud of me for, so I made as much time for it as I could.
Avina nudges Emlyn with her elbow, Avina nudges Emlyn with her elbow, a reassuring smile on her face.
Well, they have to be very happy with all you've achieved, then. I mean, I've never been to a university, but to be an actual... professor, so young, it's extremely impressive, surely.
Emlyn gives a mirthless smile.
You'd think so.
Oh. So, not a good relationship then?
No relationship at the moment. Haven't spoken to them in over 10 years.
Avina's silent for a moment. An uncertain look on her face.
I'll be honest, I can't really imagine what that's like. It may not be a family by blood, but mine has always been there for me and supported me, even if it took me some time to warm up to them. Why would a parent even be like that with their child?
Well... human parents weren't really expecting a blue child, so that might have had something to do with it.
Avina stops in her tracks for a moment confused, before hurrying to catch up, Emlyn's pace not faltering.
Wait, your parents were human? No offence meant, but I would have assumed they would have been Samsaran too. I can see why that would have thrown them a bit, but... still, it just meant you were a different colour, so what?
I mean, that's what I've always assumed. The reason is, I don't know. We weren't the closest, even when I lived with them. They always supported my education, though, so I've followed that path to make them happy. I guess that's why I stick with it, even now. Because academia is pure bullshit sometimes. Like, there's this one professor who I've had to deal with a few times that is so infuriating. Just old and slow and forgetful as fuck.
So, another Father Grimborough situation then. I did get a slight sense you found him exasperating.
Oh, dealing with old men is the bane of my existence. I have to fight so hard just to get their respect because I'm not the same age or gender as them. Honestly, there's been a good few times where I've thought of just packing in the whole career altogether. The only thing that's really saved it has been my expeditions. I'm kind of jealous of you, Avina, I won't lie.
Jealous? Of me? How?
I mean, from what I've seen, you go where the wind takes you. You don't seem to have anything holding you down. You're not stuck anywhere. I just... part of me wishes I was as free as you are, but, you know, obligations and all that.
I guess that's true, but then again, I suppose we can't always tell how things are from the outside. I do have my own obligations, some good, like my family, some more difficult.
Avina looked to the sky with a sigh and gestures with her hand. Motes of golden light appear around her fingers.
These powers come with their own kind of obligations. They're not mine, per se. It's kind of like a rental. My patron, these are her gifts to me, but nothing like this is ever freely offered. Sometimes there are things she wants me to do. And trust me, it's hard to ignore someone who can communicate directly with your mind. But I guess the grass is always greener, huh?
Emlyn sidesteps and bumps Avina with their shoulder. They're silent for a moment, a contemplative look on their face.
Could I ask a stupid question?
Besides that one, you mean?
All right, well, I walked into that one, I guess. Yes, apart from that one.
Yes, of course you can.
So, your patron speaks to you in your mind. Can you look into other people's minds? I don't know a lot about how magic works, so is that a thing you could do?
It's less speak and more command or compel, but that's by the by. I'm definitely not a mind reader or anything, but I know there are ways to interact with thoughts and someone's mind magically. Although, question for a question, now I have to know why you want to know about that. Because there are some lines I definitely won't cross. Although, mild pranking could be okay, I suppose.
I mean, pranking is definitely something to circle back to.
Emlyn sighs and seems to steel themselves.
I was hoping you'd be able to help me out. Something happened after the show. You know when someone leaves your life, but sometimes you forget they have, and you still turn to them and speak to them as though they're there, but then you remember they're not? It was almost like that. I think I remembered something.
We hope you enjoy episode 55, Halloween 2, Electric Boogaloo. On this week's Roll Plus Pod, the party begin the last leg of their journey to Leopardstar, taking time along the way to make some final preparations for their arrival. But perhaps there are some plans they might not have in common, and some secrets they might not yet have shared. But of course, as the GM, I delight in all the chaos. So I have to say, my favourite part about the whole scene, all the players now know, but none of the characters do. David hits on the undeniable truth.
He just took a DNA test, found out he's 100% that bitch.
And players panic when things can't be walked back.
It's already happened?
Yes, it's done.
Oh, fuck.
And sometimes the NPCs become a channel for all the frustration. Yes, this is how you get there, it's a fucking left. And Amaranth is still as good with people as she's always been.
I just kind of stare at him before sprinting out the room.
As Halloween descends upon us and the great city of Leopardstar looms on the horizon, what horrors and nightmares might the group uncover? What monstrous and depraved events will they find? What hellish and unholy inhumanities will they face off against? It's time to find out in Roll Plus Pod. We're back again for the spookiest of all of our... No, it's not the most spooky episode, but it is another spooky episode because it is our Halloween episode.
Woo! Spooky, scary!
The aim and intention, obviously, is to make it as emotionally impacting as last year, but I set myself a very high bar.
Yeah, you did traumatise us quite a bit.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, I don't know if I can quite reach the same heights of emotional trauma this year, but we'll see what happens. How are you feeling?
All ready for that slow burn emotional trauma.
Like, if you touch the donkey, I'm going to hurt things.
Yeah, winter's off limits, guys.
For a second, I forgot about winter, so I was like, what the fuck?
You forgot about winter?
I just thought that was a really strange, like, phrase that
Alice.
I hadn't heard of before.
You forgot. Alice.
Christian gives Alice, like, a negative edge now.
I'm infecting you with my...
Day. You get rat poison or whatever it was that Emlyn had. I didn't lick any blood.
How quickly I can turn you all against each other. It's so fun.
That wasn't even your doing.
But we probably We should probably start, though, with an apology from me for being just a generally terrible human being in general.
You're not forgiven.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, I'll see you guys later then. Bye.
All right, cool, bye.
I'm apologising for the fact that we missed something a little bit important last week. But in my defence, it's been like a whole year since we've done one of these, like nearly. So I think I'm forgiven for this. But it was Rowan's birthday week last week.
Yeah,
happy birthday.
Well, it's not this week.
Wow, cut down. but yes, no, we did not acknowledge it because we are terrible human beings. We did do other things, though, which were crazy and fun and...
messy.
Yeah. The chaos was strong. It was all good fun. But I want to just... I've been doing some thinking in my week of self-loathing and solitude, and but partly because I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm not amazingly good at giving out edges.
What? No.
I just assumed you had really high standards that we weren't meeting.
It's super hush hush, but yeah, I'm terrible at giving out any edges. And also because of the fact that we missed the one last week, so we're making a couple of changes to edges, just a couple. So one is that birthday edges no longer have an expiry. I think I'm just going to give you an edge and have fun with it. Because otherwise you would not have one this week and you would have had it last week and then you wouldn't be able to use it this week. And that feels mean. So
thanks.
Have an edge. Yay.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you.
The other thing is that I'm to encourage me to actually give out edges at the wonderful suggestion of Roxy. We do a recap at the beginning of every episode of what's happened recently, and I should give out edges during that bit, because then I'll remember to actually motherfucking do it.
Oh, wow, a big swear from Chris.
I know. I'm really, really in the self-loathing over this, because this was something I was really excited to implement, and then I just forgot to do forever. Because it's not something I normally do in my home games. It's something that I have introduced specifically for this, and I really like it, because it encourages... some really bold plays and some really engaging stuff. Like, so I really, really want to do it, but I'm just bloody awful at it.
That's okay. We'll forgive you this one time and only this time.
Okay, I guess I'll mark that off on my list of things I've used up. but yes, so we are hopefully going to get better at doing the introduction of edges. I will say we'll start doing it in the recap from next week because... while I do remember what happened last week, I don't remember who did what last week. I'm very bad at remembering because I think of you all as one very functional, competent unit.
Only one.
Yes, I am the only one. So we'll start from the kind of next week of an actual band. Obviously, you've technically got an edge this week from me that usable, and a couple of you have still got edges. So why should I give you any more? Use them. But so last week.
It's like ethers in Pokemon.
last week, it was the second half of the combat at the Unnamed Lake. To use its official title, the Unnamed Lake that has no name. You dispatched with the werewolves that you were dealing with. Met back up with the. With the rest of the caravan, managed to get to Corto, rested for the night, made preparations, and now you are heading, or you have literally just left, I believe is where we left off last week, you are literally leaving Corto to head to Leopardstar. The Crooked King decided not to do a show at Corto because between the Fae Spider and the werewolves and just everything else going on in the world, they kind of just want to get to Leopardstar and get the journey over with now.
That's fair.
So it is the early hours, I say early hours, it's kind of like 7:30-ish in the morning of the 5th of Ferrast. You are doing any final preparations you have for your journey into or towards Leopardstar. Is there anything anyone wants to prepare for this journey?
I don't think so, at least not for myself.
Fantastic, you shall all have such a fun time.
I... would like Lunamote to sort of stick kind of close to Kendra in this weird kind of limbo we're having at the moment where we don't really know where we are.
Yeah.
And then like sort of maybe like around midday, try and strike up a conversation at some point.
Okay. I mean, it's interesting because there are, it's worth mentioning that like you obviously you've been with Kendra for well over a month now from when you first went to the funeral. Like all of you now have been around Kendra for that length of time. Obviously, Lunamote, you've had a long, long history with the Lorimores in general, but you are kind of coming to the end of your obligations towards the Lorimores here. Like all of you are coming to the end of those obligations because the I don't know how well you recall because it was 52 episodes ago roughly it was in Petros's will. There were two things that he specifically asked of you in as part of his will. One was the a significant collection of valuable but dangerous tomes, the majority of which remain under lock and key at Leopardstar University, but a few of them were still in his trunk in his Ravengrow home. He asks that you deliver the collection to his colleagues at the University of Leopardstar, who will put them to good use for the betterment of the cause, is what he said. So that was one. And the other was to delay your journey to Leopardstar for 1 month and spend that period of time to ensure that his daughter Kendra was safe and sound. To aid her in setting things in order for whatever she desires over the course of the month. As we know, Kendra's still a bit in two minds she's decided to come with you to Leopardstar, but she's still in two minds as to whether she wants to return back to Ravengrow or to stay in Leopardstar or what she's going to do from there. But as a group, it feels like your obligation, it was only until the end of the month in Ravengrow, I think you've kind of unconsciously, collectively agreed to extend that to the journey to Leopardstar. But by the end of today, you'll be in Leopardstar and potentially both of those obligations will be resolved.
That's
scary. Yeah, this is something that's kept us going for a good year. I need to find something else to keep you coming back to the table every week.
Time for the party to disband, guys. Being good, aren't you?
Well done, guys. We did it. We did it. Everyone go. Yes, so you haven't got a contact with the university, but you have been told that there is also in Leopardstar, Embrith Daramid. Would know that Embrith is one of the, what's her official title? She is a judge. Yes, she's one of the justices of Vyland and a magistrate of Leopardstar. You know that she has got a sum of money for you, a sum of 100 platinum coins each.
You know what? I'm really glad you said that name again because I don't think I wrote it down the first time, which is hilarious since I was the only one that was like, oh, I've got my notes. I remember exactly what we had to do. Yeah, no, I did not write down that name at all last time.
Embrith, Judge either Judge or Justice, either title works, but Embrith Daramid. Yeah, she has a fund of 100 platinum coins for each of you, which is about 1,000 gold pieces, which is a lot of cash.
Will we see the real estate empire develop further?
Yeah, I mean to be fair, yeah, Lunamote becomes just a land baron. Like that's her. She's got one house. She's going to get the rest now.
I mean, give me a house or I'll stab you. That seems like a good way to be a landlord, right?
Painful in the current climate. Yeah. We got political. yes. So just a little reminder of those things from over a year ago now. Those were the things that were tying you all together. So you journey through the day. The road to Leopardstar from Corto is actually quite well traveled. It's a very well-made road. It's maintained quite well. Leopardstar is one of the biggest settlements on this side of Ustalav in general, but specifically along the northern borders, there are only two or three large towns, and Leopardstar is the largest of those, and that's across the whole northern border of the country. So this is quite a substantial settlement in and of itself. So this main road seems to be almost the only road into Leopardstadt. There are a few small villages and other kind of settlements in the area, but they all seem to be kind of like almost satellite to Leopardstadt itself. The journey itself will take pretty much the whole day. So obviously, I know, Lunamote, you said you wanted to speak to Kendra partway through the day. Is there anything anybody else wants to do on the journey?
No. Be ready, I suppose, given how it seems to have gone so far.
I mean, it's been interesting. It's been interesting, is what I would say.
I mean, I just feel like the rule of threes applies.
Okay, so around kind of half, you make pretty good time, actually, particularly because the road is much better. And also, Caleb seems to be a little bit maybe like estimating on the generous side for how long the journey will take. So you actually make pretty good time that you do stop around midday rather than continuing to go and like eating as you go. They do decide to stop. Everyone could kind of take a good, like an hour's actual break to just breathe a little, stretch their legs, because obviously cooped up on coaches and on horseback, a lot of people are getting, specifically having ridden quite hard yesterday and quite hard again today, people need the extra little bit of space. So during this time, obviously Lydia pulls together a bit of like a small campfire, makes some nice food, using a lot more supplies on this than she probably would have done in the past, because now they know they're going to be arriving at Leopardstadt today. She's kind of like using up the rest of it.
It's stew day.
Basically, yeah. Like it's almost like a little mini banquet. Like it's not formal, but there is like almost like a buffet feel to it, where she's cooking various different cuts of meat. She's using up the last of all the bread supplies. She's got various different herbs and spices that she's using for like three or four different pots of stew. Like it's a bit of an event to it. And during this time, obviously, people go there seems to be a bit more of a positive buzz. Like last night, there was still this kind of anxiety about, oh God, this journey is a lot more dangerous than we were expecting. We're all worried what's going to happen tomorrow. But in the light of day, everyone's feeling a bit more positive, a bit more energetic. And you hear a bit more of this buzz around their reason for going to Leopardstadt, which seems to be this wedding between Asher and Damien, two of the acrobat people.
How are they feeling? Do they seem excited, those two? Are they nervous? Or, like, what's the vibe we see?
It's one of those, like, you do kind of get a bit of a mixed vibe about it. Particularly from them as a group. Like, there is an excitement about it, but there seems to be some level of tension that seems unspoken amongst the whole acrobat quartet. Quartet feels like such a formal word for them. But yeah, there seems to be an awkwardness. It's hard to know where that's directed at. It doesn't seem to be between the betrothed couple themselves. But there is something that's unspoken that it's clear everyone seems to be aware of. And the only two that keep a bit of a distance, Lydia keeps a bit of a distance from them. But then it's hard to know whether that's because she's busy or because she's deliberately keeping a bit of distance. And then Casimina, the other acrobat of them, is a little bit more quiet, a bit more withdrawn, kind of sits by herself. But then, you having had that combat with her yesterday, it's hard to know whether that is just her realizing how close she came to danger and how close she came to death. I mean, she kicked ass, let's be fair. But she also, you don't know how comfortable she is in those situations and what her previous experiences were. So there's a withdrawnness about her. She doesn't seem to be speaking to anybody, and she kind of sits off to herself. She will interact if someone goes over to her, but she just doesn't seem to be giving much in the way of response, just being a little overly polite about it for the sake of everyone else. Kendra is obviously, as always, face buried in a book, making notes on various things. She does every so often look up kind of towards where you know Leopardstadt is going to be. And you can, it's hard to know whether you can kind of see it on the horizon or whether you are just, or whether it's just just vague shapes that look vaguely city-like. It's hard to know with the distance from how far you are, but she does kind of look a lot off in that direction every so often, and there is a kind of a tension, maybe a little bit of anxiety in there as well.
When we stop for lunch, Lunamote will see if there's something specific that she knows Kendra likes, like maybe like a sweet dish or like an extra bit of bread or like a flavor of tea or something.
Yeah, there are a few things that probably would tickle her fancy.
And she sort of takes one of them and like her meal and goes over to Kendra.
Okay. Yeah, so you kind of go over. She doesn't seem to, like, she it's not that she's oblivious to her surroundings. She has learned a little bit from being around you to be a bit more aware of what's around her. So as you kind of come over, she does look up and kind of just smile. She doesn't seem to notice what you're carrying, but she just recognises you, smiles, and then kind of looks back at her book again.
Sure. And Lunamote sort of sits down, like, stirs her stew a second, and then, like, well, what is it I found?
So there's it's amongst the different because they've got various different types of bread roll and so on, and there's it's almost like a small roll that you might have with soup, but it's been like shaped into almost like a little flower, and there's quite clearly some of the bread is like a slightly different color, and on the smell you're getting kind of like a turmeric kind of scent to it. Oh. It gives it this almost slightly spicy flavor, and it's very similar to ones that you that your mother would bake. She wouldn't have used the same spices, but it's similar in the way that she spiced part of the bread to what you'd have at home.
Okay. And I sort of, and you can tell that, like, Lunamote is fighting with talking about something, because she's kind of like fidgeting a little bit, and then, like, pulls out the bread roll and is like, Miss, I thought you might enjoy this, and she sort of passes it to Kendra.
Oh, thank you so much. And she kind of leans down and she kind of smells it, and there is a little smile on her face, and she kind of looks back at you and, thank you, that's very kind.
Well, and you can see Lunamote just fighting for, like, the right words to have this conversation. I thought that it, well, you, this is harder than I expected.
Is everything okay?
Yes, I think it will be. So we are arriving at Lepestad today.
Yes, finally. Interesting journey.
Yes, very much so. You are a respectable lady, and in places like this, you would need someone to help you, not so much as like a maid servant, but not as a servant, but as like someone to help you with what you need, but also like in case you need protection, although you can protect yourself, of course. And you can see Lunamote stumbling over her words. She tries to explain like what has been going over her mind in the last few like days and weeks. And eventually she sort of, after a little bit of like running around the topic, she's like, I am, she sort of pauses, and then, you need a keeper, someone to help you with the things you're not used to doing, or protect you in those very trying moments, just like what my father and mother were for your dad. I don't know if you are planning to seek out someone for that role when we get to Lepestad, or what your next plans may be.
I hadn't actually thought about it like that. I suppose you're right. It's, if the journey is anything to go by, things are not the same as the last time I was in the city. Perhaps I could do with, if nothing else, the company. It's not like I don't have father anymore the way I would have done.
You're a lady now. You have his power and titles behind you.
It's quite intimidating when you put it quite like that.
I can imagine it must be.
I haven't any plans for that. I don't know what to do.
And you can see Lunamote sort of warring with like whether to like reach out and comfort, or that like restrainedness she's always been taught of like being proper. And she sort of settles with herself a second and is like, you seem to enjoy travel just like the professor did, but also not the danger as much.
No, he was a lot more of a risk seeker than I have been. But,
I think, and I'm sorry if I am overstepping my position here. You need to decide what makes you happy. If it is not Ravencrow, then find somewhere that makes you happy and that fulfills your needs. Because that's what he did, and, well, although his ending was not the most happy, he always seemed excited about things.
He had a way of almost infecting you with his excitement sometimes.
He did. I am not sure what you want to decide to do, but Anlina might sort of pauses for a second, and then if you decide you want a keeper, well, it's in my name. And she sort of nods at that and sits.
Kendra does kind of almost look a little surprised when you say that, and she kind of looks at you with this odd expression, and your new companions, do they? I wouldn't want to take you away from this new life you seem to have found.
Well, I mean, is it a life when it has been a month?
True. Sometimes I forget it's only been a month.
I mean, I don't know what is going to happen next. Emlyn may decide to stay at Lippestadt. I know they have a job. And who knows with Evina and Amaranth, but I was talking to someone when I was getting the items for you the other day, and they sort of reminded me that sometimes there are adventures everywhere, and recently mine seemed to be leading me down a path I'm not sure is right. Sometimes the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and I think they may be right. And so my services are here if you would wish them. I'm sure we would have more adventures together. Hopefully not quite as dangerous.
I don't plan on being quite as thrill-seeking as my father. I do intend to stay in Lippestadt for a time, but I don't know. I think it won't quite feel the same. So I'm considering perhaps moving elsewhere, perhaps to Caliphas. But I would be very, very blessed to have you at my side if you were to choose.
I think that would work for us.
Well, I shall take you on as my assistant then, I suppose. And there is this kind of this almost girlish delight on her face as she says it.
And Nunamote sort of, you do see like a, that feels kind of like an emotion across her face, like it feels right that is the path that she should be taking. And it's like, okay, is there anything you need, miss?
quite all right for now. Perhaps when we get to the city, we can have a real talk about the terms of this and to make sure that I'm not asking too much of you and that you are getting the payment you deserve.
Of course. If you need anything, just holler.
I will. Thank you.
And Lunamote goes and takes her lunch and sort of sits back, like leaves Kendra to it for a bit to like process.
Kendra sits for a while, like just almost wistfully looking off in towards where Lippestadt is. And there's a different look on her face than when she looked before. There is a bit more strength, a little bit more hope, and a little bit more certainty in her face.
Aww.
Okay. So I have to say, my favourite part about the whole scene, all the players now know, but none of the characters do.
I know.
Okay, so, that's going to be fun when we get to that. Oh, I'm a little, I wasn't expecting that then either. Okay, so, anything else that anyone wants to do over this lunch period? And I am asking that now that you have specific knowledges.
just to put it in practice, Lunamote like wasn't hiding that she went over to Kendra or anything like that, and is just sort of sat almost with like a book out, just writing a letter back to her parents as she's eating dinner.
Did anyone overhear the conversation?
Ooh.
Mm. That's a really good question, really, isn't it? We should do this really. We should, you know what?
Oh, don't Scrap be a little bitch rolls. About it. Don't. No.
Oh, do it, please. I'm going to be the bitch about it.
No.
I've been holding this in for such a long time. Be a little bitch about it, please.
Oh,
I've just sent a secret role request to all out. Of you.
He's 100% that bitch.
Yes. Okay. Okay. I'm going to tell only the players secretly who know.
Oh my god.
Fuck.
And anybody who does not receive anything from me will not know they know. Therefore the character does not know.
That's so harsh.
Are you telling us?
Hmm?
How are you going to communicate it?
I have a Facebook message privately to those that know.
Oh.
It's already happened?
Yes, it's done.
Oh, fuck.
Okay.
Okay, so the only one who hasn't like had a comment about that is Alice.
No.
Alice isn't reading.
I'm not reading. That's the problem. I'm refreshing.
Frantically pressing the button. No, tell me that I don't know.
I love the secrets.
Only the people Red Herring who know
that. None of us knew.
I was saying, I feel like I should also point out that just because they're saying they haven't heard doesn't mean they haven't received a message from me saying, don't tell people you know.
True.
Oh, motherfucker.
So, ha. Anywho, yes. So, does anybody have anything else they'd like to do this during this particular period? You've probably got, but like, because that conversation doesn't happen immediately during the lunch, so that's probably like halfway through, maybe. So you've got maybe another 20 minutes before you're going to start packing up during this period. So it's not a...
Are we about halfway there-ish?
Yeah, you're about halfway there-ish. Yeah, you're probably about there.
I think I'll just, I think I'll just keep an eye out because I'm still kind of feeling a little bit on edge.
Mm-hmm.
Just as we haven't had the highest success rate in not being accosted while traveling. And also... Belkson's getting close, so...
I mean, to some extent, you're actually kind of leaning... You're moving a little bit away from Belkson now. Away from the border.
Its shadow extends further than its physical... parameters.
Yeah, it's much more open plains between you now and Belkson. And actually, the direct route from Belkson is now over a much thinner part of the Tusk Mountains. So, yeah, I mean, there's reason to be
nervous.
If
it's open ground, we can see things coming, hopefully.
Yeah. Okay, so you pack back up, everyone, caravan begins to move, and it takes you, you get to probably about 3 or 4 in the afternoon, we'll say 4 o'clock, it's just after 4, when you get into Lepichstadt proper, you arrive at the city walls. You're not the only people traveling. By the time you get to the wall, there are more people coming from some of the like those satellite villages and settlements, heading into to the city itself. And I am now going to make available for you a new map.
Lepichstadt map.
So this is the city of Lepichstadt.
I don't own any token with vision in this scene.
Okay.
Not to ruin the big reveal.
Reveal.
This is Lepichstadt.
Oh, there's so many circles.
It's circles and circles. A wheel within a wheel. Yes, this is the city of Lepichstadt. The wall is kind of incomplete going around, but there are it's where the actual stone wall. And they've filled in with wooden palisades, which are not technically drawn on the map just because they are obviously temporary structures. So the actual Lepichstadt University is directly down here towards the south. This large complex here is the university itself. Other areas of note, you've got the courthouse, which is, so you've got this main plaza here, and it is to the north end of the plaza. You've got so that's quite a distance, maybe a 25-minute, 30-minute walk from the university is where the courthouse is. You've got a number of different areas. So you've got kind of a religious area. A lot of the religious centers of worship are over here towards the north east of that's northwest. I see your mouse going into the northwest there, David. The northeast. This kind of area up here is kind of where there are more kind of religious and service based. So there's a lot more of tailors and haberdashers and I've forgotten what it is, but there's lots of those that are kind of in this kind of area. It's not really a trade area, but it is much more of a general services kind of feel to it. So there are a few medicinal outlets, there are a few clinics, that kind of thing. And the main trade area is the two central plazas.
The two big
circular plazas are the kind of the trade hubs. The one to the west, where the courthouse is, has more of a kind of upper class kind of vibe. It's got more like artisan goods. exotic wares and so on. And the one to the east is a little bit more of your mundane day-to-day grocers, butchers, bakers kind of feel, like textile merchants, stuff like that. So there is quite a wide variety of different things. Obviously, you've also got the river to the far east of the town, which is, if I go back to the main map, I can tell you what river it is. So it's kind of more of a lake. It's the shores of a lake that leads into the Lesser Moutre River. And on the other side of the river, this is the previous center of the government of this county of Vineland, which is Schloss Caremark. But that has all that has been pretty much in disrepair for a long time. It's no one really knows if it's still in use or not. The actual government responsibilities have now moved into Leopardstadt itself. So you would be entering in probably from this southern side, near the university. The Crooked Kin themselves are going to be heading more towards the dock areas. They've got contacts there. That's where they're going to be heading to. You are welcome to join them if you wish, or you may go elsewhere. It's up to you.
I think as you sort of approach that city, if anyone is around, they can see Luna Moat starting to look a little bit nervous. This is like the biggest place they've ever seen in their life. And Luna Moat is clearly a little bit not as steady as and as sure as she normally is about things. So her preference would be to stick with the Crooked Kin, personally.
See, conversely, Avina is having the opposite reaction. I'm kind of, she's kind of relaxing a little bit, just because it's like, ah, yes, urban environment. I know this. I'm good. Like, none of this weird country stuff or like nature stuff.
I think Emlyn's doing a very similar kind of thing. Like, stand up a bit more straight, like, a bit more relaxed, a bit more comfortable.
I'm particularly comfortable, I would have thought, for Emlyn.
Yeah.
This is home.
Yeah.
Probably feels a little bit different. You're coming back maybe with a different perspective on things after what you've already been through. Obviously, the last time you left this city was when you were going for your friend's funeral. And now coming back a month and a bit later, got to be a very different vibe.
Yeah.
How's Amaranth looking, feeling about the dense metropolitan style area they're about to go in?
Amaranth misses their shed in the Shadowlands. She would much rather be listening to all kinds of horrendous shit stomping around in the woods than be here in the city right at the second.
This is going to be a fun book for you then, isn't it? So Kendra herself, she's happy to go with the Crooked Kin, but she would rather stay at the university where she knows that she has residences that she can take up, but she's happy to kind of go with the Crooked Kin and help them unload, because as a show of they have helped us so much in this journey, I want to give back. But she would plan to head to the university probably later in the evening, after all the lectures have let out, to kind of just go back to what for her would feel like the most familiar turf. So you're welcome to either go with or to stay with the Crooked Kin. The choices are up to you.
I mean, it seems only fair to help them unload rather than just going, okay, bye.
Do we know how soon the wedding is supposed to take place? Is it today? Is it tomorrow?
So the wedding itself, so it is currently Sunday. The wedding itself is supposed to be taking place on Toil Day, which is 2 days time.
Okay, so it's not tonight. Okay.
No, it's not immediate. but obviously there is most of their time between now and then is going to be a bit of the preparation and seeing the various people, because a lot of people are apparently traveling to Leopardstadt for the wedding. It's not just the Crooked Kin themselves, but other people they've met on the road in various places. They've invited a lot of people. So they're going to be quite busy over the next few days getting prepared for that. So what you do is entirely kind of up to you in terms of how involved you would like to be in that.
Is it the social event of the season?
It's their social event of the season, but you're in a massive city. There is always a social event of the season. It's somebody's wedding or somebody's funeral or somebody's child being born. This isn't something that's going to shake the city. This is in terms of scale, a small event, but for them, it's huge.
Have we been invited to hang out for the wedding?
They've kind of, it's not really been said either way. It's kind of that implication of, like, to some extent, because of all the things that you've been through, even though it's only been a few days, they are kind of almost treating you as almost like just part of the group for as long. Like, they have, you know, from having spoken to them a little bit, that they have a very laissez-faire kind of approach to what they consider the Crooked Kin. So it is a bit of a, you can stay as long as you need to, but you can go when you like type feel. So that's why there's not an official invitation, but you're also not unwelcome.
Okay. Lunima will, when Kendra's like, I'm going to leave this evening, will probably be like, okay, am I okay to take a day or two and then I'll catch up with you after this wedding?
Of course, yes. That's not a problem in the slightest.
Wonderful.
And would you be able to just at least help see me to the university with my things?
Probably a good idea, so I know where it is. Yes.
Yeah. And she looks around a little bit, not suspiciously, but a little bit just warily. And then she does kind of gesture as if she wants to speak to all four of you.
Okay. Are we going to be pulled aside, I'm guessing?
Yeah, she's trying not to make a big thing of it. She's not the most subtle person in the world, but no one's... this kind of group of people, they're very aware everyone has their own secrets. They're not going to push on it unless they think it's likely to affect them negatively. But they're kind of... Yeah, they're giving you a bit of birth. No one's eavesdropping or looks too suspiciously at you. And she does kind of take you over to one side. And I also would recommend that perhaps you deal with the books as soon as possible.
Agreed.
So perhaps that might be something to be done today.
Oh, is it not evening?
It's late afternoon.
Oh, okay. I thought it was evening. That's why I was like, oh, we can leave that till tomorrow. Okay,
no, cool. It's just after 4 in the afternoon. It's not. Like, you made pretty good time on the road, a lot better time than you were expecting, partly because Caleb overestimated.
Okay. Shall we do that now?
I don't want to impose. We also don't want you to feel like, I don't want you to carry that burden any longer than you need to.
No, it's a fair concern. They are best to get them off the streets, really.
So, should we drop Kendra off and then the books?
Can't we do it in one go?
Yeah, we just. I mean, it's. Do you know? Try again. Words. Kendra, do you know where this Daramond person is or could be found?
Well. Well, she should either be at her residence, which is not far from the central plaza, or she'd be at the courthouse itself. But the books would probably be left in the care of maybe one of his. I would assume probably Professor Crowell would be the best.
Lunima turns to look at Emlyn to see if Emlyn recognizes the name.
Does Emlyn recognize the name?
Emlyn would recognize the name. Yes. Yeah. So. Dr. Montini Crowell, who is, I need to find the exact name of the department. It's the Department of Antiquities. He is the lead researcher for the Department of Antiquities. So a lot of the books would likely have come under his jurisdiction as having been found at various sites across Galarian. They kind of come under the Antiquities rather than under the library. Mm-hmm. Because they are artifacts in and of their own right. So you wouldn't have had a lot to do with him, maybe, because you were much more field work and in the library researching. But you would have crossed paths every now and then as you would have either delivered things that you had found or needed to have referenced a few of the more artifact-like texts. Yeah. So you would be aware of him, but maybe not... Probably not the strongest memories of him.
Cool. No worries.
Wasn't the express wording that we had to give the books to the...
Damn it.
Yes. Thank you.
No.
Okay.
There was two separate parts of the will. One that literally just says, I ask that you deliver the collection to my colleagues at the University of Leppestad, who will put them to good use for the betterment of the cause. And then the next paragraph was basically saying... from my savings, I've also willed to each of you a sum of 100 platinum coins. For safekeeping, I've left those funds with Embrith Daramid.
Right.
They're two separate things.
Yeah, let's... if we ask Caleb where their destination is, so we know where to find them later, and then if we split off and, ditch this foreboding chest.
Okay.
See, the Caleb does give you quite explicit directions, actually. There's an area along the banks of this this river, but towards the northeastern part of town, not far from the kind of religious center and the clinics and so on. So it's kind of along this northern bank here, not on the docks, but nearby. There's an area there where they know an innkeeper who allows them to use his grounds for staying when they're in the city.
When you were saying he gives very explicit instructions, my brain immediately sort of translated that as like, you turn fucking left in the cell, and then it's another bloody right after that.
Yes, this is how you get there. It's a fucking left. So he gives you those kind of directions. They're happy to drop you off. They would be going past the university on their way into town, because that's the part of town you're coming into. So you would be going, they would be going past it on their journey. So they're more than happy to drop you there and meet up with you and meet you later.
Right.
Are you all doing that, or any of you going with the crook again? Like, I don't want to make decisions for you. What are you doing?
Well, I'd say
yeah.
I feel like we're going to get mugged to go.
Are you feeling on edge because it's Halloween?
No, I'm feeling on edge because we're in a big city and I feel like we're going to get mugged.
Yeah, that's a thing that can happen, isn't it? Thank you.
Maybe keep an eye on Winter Amaranth. I'm not sure if she'll be used to being in this sort of environment.
We could leave Winter with the Crooked Kin. They have other animals.
I mean, do you want to be... can you bear to be parted?
I kind of pat Winter on the head. And I'm like, yeah. They'll look after her.
Okay, so Winter stays with the Crooked Kin. You guys get dropped off at the university. So by the time it's probably coming up to like 4:45. So there certainly aren't any lectures still happening, but the building is still open and there are still people milling around. It still feels quite early. Kendra immediately, there's a whole different demeanor to her. Like this is like, she suddenly looks very much like she did towards the end of your time in Ravengrove, where she started to feel a bit more sure of herself as master of the house. And that energy is back there. Like, she feels very at home here. There is she stands up very straight. She's got a slight, still positive and pleasant, but a very firm energy about her. And heads directly in towards the, through the main doors of the university. And the university architecture is very grand, but there is unlike a lot of the other architecture of a similar kind as you came in, so like the main city walls and some of the other some of the older buildings, this one has been immaculately kept. Like, there is very clearly a strong upkeep and a very, very meticulous eye for detail at keeping this building looking, you would assume, almost exactly the same as it did when it was first erected, probably hundreds and hundreds of years ago. So Kendra herself is very quick to go. Like, she finds one of the various stewards that work in the building, has directs them to where her luggage is, has it all planned to be taken off. She specifically designates which chest is to be left in your care. She's very efficient about the way she speaks with them, and it's, even for you, Lunamo, it's very different to the Kendra you've ever really seen before, and it's weird to see the side of her.
Oh God, what have I signed myself up for?
like I say, she's still got this pleasantness about her, but she's just very, there is more of a directness that you've not quite seen before, and it almost feels like this is just an environment where she knows the rules, so she knows what she can do and what she can't do, and what's expected of her and of other people. Like, she just understands the dynamic so much better here. As the steward kind of like hurries off to go and find a few others, and they start coming to collect the bag, she kind of turns back to you. Well, Emlyn, I'm sure you know your way around here as well as the rest of them, but I don't know if you would like me to show you around.
Lunamote kind of looks at the others.
Once we've dropped off the books, that sounds like it'd be cool.
Well, yes, I suppose we should deal with that. And she kind of stands for a moment, she kind of thinks, and then she does, like, just look across the room and, excuse me, Dr. Crowell, is he available? Do you know where he is currently? And I think he's still in the stacks, but he's not busy. I'm sure you can go in, miss. And she says, very well, thank you. This way, I suppose. And you do see this weird shift in her demeanor as she talks to you versus as she talks to some of the others. And like I say, there's not a harshness about her, but there is just a very confident directness. Make of that what you will. But she does lead very confidently through various different halls and backways and through these, like the building starts off quite grand and open and these quite high vaulted ceilings. As you start going into some of the more, like the wings and the offshoots parts of the buildings, they do get a little less grand and a little smaller and a little bit more practical in their construction. And she eventually kind of takes you down into this corridor that is not basic in any way, but is a lot more functional and simplistic in its design. There is a nice marbled floor, but there's not quite the same buttressing or vaulted ceilings or anything like that. It's very the doors are much more simple, just plain wooden doors, and she each of them with these small metal plaques that have. It's very similar to a modern day university. They have little room numbers and they have the title of whatever the room is. And there's little sections where they have people, like people's offices with their office hours available. And it's very much the same as any other academic institution that you may be aware of in the real world. But she does lead down towards this one door that has the plaque reads Department of Antiquities Research and Storage. And she doesn't knock on the door. She just opens it up, walks straight in, and there is this. So it's it almost looks at first like a library, but then you realize there's not really, or at least no obvious filing system or structure or organization to it. And it's not just books. There are small chests that seem to all be labeled on various shelves. There's a number of different schematics and diagrams and like ordered lists and processes described on some of the walls, but the room itself is completely empty. She kind of just walks in. Well, this is usually where you'd find him, unless they've moved his research office. If you wait here, I'll go see if I can find him. And she heads back out into the corridor. Are you waiting in the room? Are you going with Kendra? What are you planning?
I mean, seems fine to wait.
Yeah, I mean, what if someone tells you to wait and they seem as confident as she does, you wait.
incidentally, the chest is easy enough to carry with one person. Which of you has the chest?
Looking at our big, strong ranger.
Yeah,
I was also thinking that.
You mean it's not Lunamo?
I'm not tall enough.
It would be as big as she is.
Okay, just worth knowing. She disappears for a few minutes. The room itself, like I say, is quite not cluttered, but there's a lot in here. There's a lot to take in, a lot of detail. There are three windows that face out onto like an almost like a little like kind of a courtyard, like little rows of bushes underneath the windows and so on. And you can see there's a little there's an adjunct room off this one that seems to stick out into that courtyard a little bit, and you couldn't see it from where you were at the door, but if you after spending a few minutes and looking around a little bit, you do see there is actually another door that leads into that adjunct room right in the far corner, but there's no sign on that particular door at all. Just seems to be there.
Can I look around the room, see what books there are and stuff, out of curiosity?
Yeah, go ahead, give me a perception.
Okay. Not my greatest skill.
I would also like to just poke around at random stuff and start examining all the things laid out.
Ooh, go right ahead.
That's a 19.
Nice.
13.
13. So there is a lot in here. It seems to range from, like I said, there doesn't seem to be a huge amount of order when you first look, but then you do seem to notice that parts of it are arranged geographically. Some of them are arranged chronologically. It's almost like each shelving unit has its own organization system to it. But you've got almost all of the texts in here are focusing on archaeological practice or on very dry histories. So not interpretations of history, but just pure listings of events over periods of time. There are a few that look into religious and cultural aspects of different areas, like Assyriani, the Morangi Expanse, various places like that. Thassilon comes up a number of times as an empire of great importance. But there's just it's hard to pick out anything that's amazingly significant because it all feels like it could either be very, very significant or absolutely unimportant as hell. But after a few minutes of kind of like looking through the shelves and having and just getting a bit of a vibe for it, Kendra does come back into the rooms. I found him. He's actually in one of the lecturing rooms. He's just finishing up notes from a particularly interesting discussion, apparently. He's happy to come and meet with you, though. So if you follow me, I'll take you down to where he is. She actually only takes you like literally one door down where you go in there. They're into the room itself. There's no desks in these rooms, apart from one desk at the front that there's a man sitting at who dressed very, very formally, quite elegant, very much similar to almost barrister's robes. Like, it's that kind of like black and with a little detailing of white and stuff to it. It's very, very formal. But the rest of the room is just benches. There are no tables. There's no doesn't seem to be any. This is very much more a lecture room than it is a classroom in that regard. And as you kind of walk in, the guy doesn't even look up. He's definitely an older man, probably in his 50s or 60s. But he looks well kept. He looks quite physically like fit for his age. But there is there's a slight squint to his eyes. There is his hair is completely grey, but it's kept quite short. It seems to be more from practicality standpoint than anything else. And he's kind of hunched a little bit over the desk as you all walk in, just scratching with a pen against paper. And as you kind of walk in, Kendra's like, Montigny, would you look up for 5 minutes? Would you, man? Oh, yes, come in. You must be the ones that Petros has led to my door. What is it exactly you've brought, do you know?
Can I do a sense motive check?
What are you trying to ascertain?
If I can trust him.
Okay, go ahead, give me a sense motive.
I think this is some of Amaranth's Father Grimborough PTSD.
Only six.
Old man? No.
What was that?
Six.
A six.
Yeah.
Okay. I do admit I'm kind of with David on this, that maybe it wasn't Father Grimborough. It's just old men. He's got a problem with older men. Understandable.
Lunamote nudges Emlyn forward.
He seems a bit standoffish. Is probably the word. Maybe he should be a bit stronger than that. But he seems a little off with you, but he doesn't seem dishonest. It's hard to know him on first glance, but you just get the impression that he just feels like he's got better things to do.
He deals with teenagers all day. He probably does.
You said you nudged Emlyn forward, was it?
Mm-hmm. Emlyn had already kind of taken a step forward. Dr. Crowell, we've got some books here delivered from Petros Larimore's office.
You look vaguely familiar. Steward? Steward, is it? Oh, are you one of the students?
Sure.
Well, judging from the look of you, you clearly didn't pass.
Okay.
Well, what exactly has Petros sent my way now?
Professor, why don't you show this man the books? Lunamote takes a step forward. And he's like keeping dead eyes on this guy.
He kind of turns in his chair a little bit more to face towards you. And books? What particular books has he got this time?
Emlyn's going to... There's like a desk in front of him, yeah?
Yeah, there's a desk near him, yeah.
Cool. Emlyn's going to set it down just slightly too close to him with a bit too much force, just a touch.
You have to pull it out his hands first.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you put the chest down.
Yeah, and just pulls out the four volumes.
Oh, right. Let's have a look. Umbral Leaves. I've been looking for that one for 6 months. Serving Your Hunger, I do vaguely recall he asked me for.
And Unverified Madness. Oh, I didn't even know we had a copy of that one. I'm going to add that into the archives. But what's this last one? This Manual of the Order of the Palantine? I don't know anything about this one.
Your record keeping is impeccable as ever.
I have a memory for everything in my stacks.
Of course you do. So just grabbing the one that he's, or just pointing at the one that he was having an issue with.
Yep.
It was originally locked and coded, but, you know, I imagine any researcher worth their salt wouldn't be able to be stopped by something so paltry as that. The audio of the Palantine, I written in Virizion code, but more than happy to give you a full report on it later.
And I'll be honest, I'm not 100% sure this one would be best suited with me, if I'm honest. I wonder whether Embrith might be interested. And he makes a quick note on a piece of paper, and then tucks it inside, like slides it inside the cover of the purple book. Very well. I have to say, and he does look at Kendra as he speaks. Like, I wish your father had a little bit better habits when it came to these things. If we aren't to know these things are missing from the archives, then who knows what could have happened? These aren't exactly light texts, are they? Well, I wasn't really aware of my father's work. I very much worked on my own.
I don't think he expected to not be able to return them himself. Well, Luna is still like dead eye looking at this guy, really not pleased with him.
Right. He kind of eyes you a little bit. Well, I suppose that's the case. And then he, almost as if he suddenly remembered, I was saddened to hear, obviously, of the news. He's a great loss to the university, and it will be difficult to find anyone of the same caliber to replace him. And there is something about the way he says it that sounds vaguely rehearsed.
And then Lunamo just sort of grunts and nods.
I'm going to need you to roll me one of those, please.
Ooh. I hate that I don't get to see what this is.
I love it. I love it a lot.
No.
Just waiting on Amaranth.
Oh, I rolled it. Did it not?
No, I don't have one.
Can you send it through again, please?
I can.
Thank you.
I hate these secret perception checks. I really don't like them.
So yeah, as you're kind of standing and talking, like Amaranth, obviously you've not said a great deal, and there is a reason, and that's because you at first you weren't sure, but your ranger senses are picking up. At first, the first you could hear kind of like talking and people milling about outside through the windows in this little courtyard area. That died away quite quickly as people were kind of moving off, and then you could hear. At first, it just kind of sounded like maybe more people moving past, and you weren't 100%. There was something about the fact that it was there was no talking, but it just sounded like people moving. But you're pretty sure you just heard the sound of glass breaking.
Do I hear roughly a direction?
It sounds like it's coming from not necessarily in the same room you were in before, but near there.
I just kind of like really quickly like snap my neck towards the professor, not Evelyn. I just kind of stare at him before sprinting out of the room towards the sound.
Okay. So Amaranth is just fucking gone. He's
Lunamote will follow because Amaranth has got pretty good senses on this stuff.
Okay, Amaranth and Lunamote are running out of the room.
I'm gonna stay with Kendra because I'm on alert now because I know what I know why Amaranth would probably run off like that so suddenly, but I also want someone to need to keep an eye on Kendra as well.
Okay, so Kendra,
I'm going to follow Amaranth.
I don't have it. Okay, so yeah, then you're following Amaranth. You said,
yeah, I'm sick of this guy already. Well, I don't speak to him much.
Bringing back some flashbacks for you.
Okay.
I was enjoying the Passag combat.
So you come running into the door still unlocked from when you were in there before, into the kind of research and storage room that you were in before, and you can see through the window a shape, a large hulking shape, crawling, practically squeezing
out of a window in that little adjunct room just off from where you are. And it is, it almost looks like a, maybe a stitched together mass of flesh in this distorted, twisted, almost humanoid shape, but like almost forcibly hunched over where the skin is too tight over muscle. Pulling itself out of this broken window.
Frankenstein part two.
Can great. I, like, this sounds great. David's not going to be able to do anything to this thing either.
How far is it to this little window?
So there are, like I said, there are three windows on the south side of the room that you're on. And it, the window itself is maybe another 10, 15 feet away from there.
So is he, is he entering the room or?
He's coming out.
Oh, we should probably stop that.
Yeah, I just like run to the window pretty much.
Okay. For the fun of it, we're just going to do this and show you what you can see.
Oh, no. Oh, it's big.
It is indeed. Like I said, it's kind of hunched over from where it looks like the skin has been stitched too tightly over its back. But if it was if it could stand up straight, you reckon it'd probably be about 11, 12 feet tall. Oof. And it is easily, like it is broad as well. It is muscular as hell.
Is the window's fully broken, right?
The window next to it does seem to be fully broken, yes.
And this creature is outside.
Yes.
I go through the window.
You're going to go through your window? Okay.
I'm going to go through the broken one, yeah.
None of the windows in your room are broken.
Oh, okay.
It's the window next to it in this little adjunct window.
I smash the window. Adjunct room.
Okay, you're going to smash your window. Okay, in which case we are going to need to do some initiative checks, please.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, what do we got?
5.
Ooh, damn.
21.
21, Avena.
You're not in the room.
I mean, it's worth getting initiative because, I mean, I'm guessing things might be... I mean, Avena will have heard, have seen you run off and heard things. So let's see what happens. But yes,
I'm on guard.
Amaranth, what you got?
23.
23, very nice. And Emlyn?
10.
Okay. So let me just roll mine. So Kendra got a 16.
Good job, Kendra.
And things that you know nothing about also got numbers.
Definitely did not see the name disappear from the combat.
So Amaranth happens to be first. So you said you were going to break the window?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can easily smash the window. That'd be a standard action to do. So you'd definitely be able to smash the window.
Cool. And I take a 5-foot
step. Let me just remove the window quickly. Like that. There cool. You go. Now you should be able to step through.
I take a 5-foot step through.
Okay.
And can I attack or was that my action? Like my standard?
You've used your standard action to break the window.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll just stop there and just stare at this thing. Okay. Oh, wait. No. Can I do a knowledge religion?
No.
No.
Interesting. No.
Nature?
Let me just have a quick look and remind myself. So it would be a knowledge arcana.
Ooh. Oh, no.
I don't have that. I'm just going to be like, what the fuck is this creature?
So for knowledge arcana, the only people who will be able to roll, just so you are aware, is Avena.
Yo.
Avena who's not in the room.
Yeah, Avena is the only one who is trained and can therefore figure out what this might be. Okay, so that brings us then to Avena.
Right, so I'm guessing I've heard... Did I hear the second window smash?
Yes.
I went through? Okay.
Now you're listening out for it, you would have definitely heard the second window smash.
Okay, I'm going to turn to Kendra and be like, something's wrong. I don't know what, but I'm fairly certain the rest of them just has found whatever it is that's gone wrong. You need... If you have any protections on hand, break them out. And with that, I'm going to... grab the badge of office in my pocket and do extended mage armor, please.
Okay. So you are mage armored up for the extended period. Wonderful. Thank you very much.
And I can't see anything from the window I'm looking out of, I believe.
No, you can only see what you can see.
Turning to what do you say his name was? Professor
Crowell.
Crowell.
Anthony Crowell.
Good Lord, I can't do names today. Professor, where's the nearest way out into the courtyard from here?
The nearest way is out through the main entrance. Or there is a side door of about 10 minutes walk from here.
Oh, okay, not going to be quick enough. Kendra, stay put, keep an eye on the professor. I'm going to see that they try and help the others with whatever's happening. And I'm going to...
I'm going to say that's going to use your movement, because that was a long conversation for 6 seconds.
That's fine. But I'm guessing I got a sense of direction from the second window breaking.
Yes, so it is roughly this way.
So I can probably place that in my head as being the room we were in before.
Yes, right. That's okay. Exactly the room you were in before, yeah. Okay, that brings us to Kendra, who is going to follow suit, and she is going to cast a little bit of a mage armor on herself, because she's not silly. She is also mage armored. And she is actually going to move next to the professor and just kind of stay there because she doesn't know what's going on. Emlyn.
All right. Emlyn
Jones.
It sure is. So there's this gross bitch, right?
That's rude.
Am I wrong?
No.
Her name's Lunamote.
Hey! That made me sad.
I mean, sorry, I was talking about Amaranth, but I...
Set it up for me.
Sass.
Yes, okay, so you've moved 5 feet.
Yeah, want to step in front of the window. If I shoot the window, is there a possibility it's going to go through and hit that thing?
Yeah, you can aim at it through the window. I might. I would give it a slight bonus to its AC.
All right, cool.
But rather than a full, like, 4, I'd give it, like, a +2 to its AC.
Okay. Oh, do I go...
Do it.
Yeah, we're going to go full musket. Why not? What's the worst?
Ooh, okay. Is this the first time you've used the musket, or am I...
No, I've used it a couple of times.
You have used it, yeah.
Yeah. Not very well, just because of the high misfire, but, you know.
That is
true. I do my best with the tools I got.
Just channel that rage at being called a student.
You know what? It would not be the first.
No, not only that, a failed student is what he called you.
His classes were boring anyway. Okay, that's a 27 tip.
Is that against normal AC?
No, that's touch.
Then yeah, that's a hit.
Yes!
So 10 damage.
Okay, 10 damage. The glass shatters. The bullet does hit, and the creature does not really seem to react much.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and it's cool. Its turn.
Oh, I was going to use my move action to reload it.
I assumed. Yeah. It's its turn, and it is going to... This is really, really, really fun. I like this. It is going to... Enter a rage.
Oh no, not a rage. We've not heard that before on the podcast. What does that do, Chris?
So a rage is a barbarian ability which has the following effects. While in a rage, a barbarian gains a +4 morale bonus to strength and constitution, as well as a +2 morale bonus on will saves. In addition, they take a -2 penalty to armor class. The increase to constitution also grants an additional 2 hit points per hit dice, but those hit points would disappear at the end of the rage. There's actually a really dangerous thing with rages where if you get into the negatives and then drop out of a rage, you might automatically die.
Ooh.
Because your constitution obviously goes down, which means that your dying point goes down. So you might have still been alive when you were in the rage. Drop out of the rage, and then you've lost more hit points than your normal dying points, then you would die immediately. It's a whole dangerous thing, but it's fun. Anywho, it's raged, because that's what it can do. It is then, and that's a free action, by the way, which is fun.
I hate that.
And it is going to try and punch Amaranth.
Yeah, that tracks.
Because it has 10 foot of reach.
So
it doesn't need to get any closer to you. It's not going to use power attack for this. So that is, you are incredibly lucky.
What is it?
Okay, would you like me to tell you the die roll or the total?
Both.
Which one first?
Die roll.
The die roll is a natural one.
Nice. The total?
Is 22.
Ooh. Holy shit.
Oh. Okay.
So it does miss because a natural one is an automatic miss. But I just want you to be aware of what you're kind of up against here.
So that's a plus 21 modifier?
Yes.
Okay.
It has a plus 21 modifier. Lunamote, you are up. It is your first round of combat. You are staggered.
I am indeed. Okay. Cool. Okay, because I don't know what this is, but just in case, and I can't do much, obviously the flashes of insight are going through my brain with flash of insight, which is going to be a nat 20 on an acrobatics roll in a minute.
Okay.
As I get a flash of how I'm going to get out this window. And then I'm going to pray that Emlyn doesn't see this in the wrong way, shove my hand into their cartridge bag, and cast Funereal Weapon on the bullets.
Ooh, very nice. Okay, Funereal Weapon. So remind us what that does.
So you imbue a weapon with a faint silvery glow that dimly illuminates a 5-foot square. So you've got a shiny bag of things now. The affected weapon also easily bypasses the physical defense of undead creatures, ignoring 5 points of the undead creature's damage reduction, as long as it's not epic.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah. Pretty so damn just in case good. It is an undead creature, your bullets now work better on it.
Awesome.
Which is always nice.
Yeah. So yeah, that's me.
Okay. So that then brings us to, when I find the combat tracker, there it is, top of the round, Amaranth, you are up.
I would like to take a 5-foot step forward.
You can.
And I would like to try a power attack.
Ooh.
Ooh, okay.
I just tick my little box that said power attack.
Yep, you tick your little box.
And that is a 19 to hit.
Hell yeah.
That's a miss.
What?
Fuck, is that a miss?
Uh-oh, we found the boss.
I'm sorry, hang on a second. A 19 misses, and this has a plus 21 on its roll.
Uh-oh.
This is OP, please nerf.
Okay, cool.
This is a very fair combat.
Yeah, I think we should just let this thing go.
Vina, your turn? Unless there's anything Amaranth is going to do?
No.
Rage impotently.
Cry for a reaction.
Okay, Avina.
Okay. Incidentally, how is the professor reacting to all of this?
He can't really... He doesn't seem to... But
he must have heard the gunshot. Can't really hear. Is he that old?
No, I was going to say, it's not so much that he can't hear. Like, he can hear it, but he isn't hearing it the same way you are. Like, he's heard two windows break and some kind of loud noise he doesn't recognize. Like, that's about it. So he's very much like, he doesn't really get what's going on.
This is just proof that... You know, academic success does not equal to common sense, really.
Oh, it's sweet Jesus.
You would be correct.
I've just caught a glimpse of the thing. Okay, so I sprinted from the room and have gone down the corridor, and I'm now at the door of the room we were previously in. And I presume, since my token can see it, that I catch sight of the fucking monstrosity that is outside the window.
Yep.
Can I make a knowledge check as a free action still?
A knowledge? It says knowledge arcana, sorry. Yes, knowledge arcana. Yes, you may indeed.
I definitely have that. That's the button. 15.
You have absolutely no fucking clue what that is.
Oh, oh my god. Good. Okay. Was that all of my move? Oh no, I've got
I think five. You've got 5 feet.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go into the room. I think because I probably heard the gunshot as I was going down the corridor. I'm like, oh, okay, it's one of those ones, right?
Yeah.
Prepared.
Okay, Kendra is going to then use a second casting of Mage Armor on the other guy because she's actually quite nice.
No,
he doesn't deserve it.
Right? Doesn't deserve it. Yes, no, so she is going to put a little bit of the mage armor on him as well. But that's all she is going to do because she knows well enough to stay well enough away, Emlyn.
Cool. I'm going to shoot it.
Give me a shooty shoot.
That is what I do. These are all getting deadly aim and point blank shot, by the way, just as a blanket thing.
Okay, good to know.
Like maximum damage.
Okay.
18 to hit against touch.
Is a hit.
Okay, cool. I think touch is saving me. All right. Oh, that was such a dog shit damage roll. 7.
What'd you get?
Ugh. Rolled a 2 on the dice. Ugh.
Chipping away, though. Chipping away.
And reload.
I move to reload. That brings us to the creature.
Fuck.
Who can still only hit. I mean, I can't even take a full round action because of what I'm carrying.
What are you carrying?
You might find out on your turn.
My fucking tombstone by the sounds of it.
it's just gonna try and punch you again.
Hold on, so this thing is just punching Amaranth
whilst holding something.
Yeah. I feel like I shouldn't ask if this hits, but 33?
Yeah, obviously.
Fucking hell.
Okay, so that is 13 points of bludgeoning damage.
Can you add that for me, please, Chris?
I can. And 3 points of electricity.
What?
What?
Okay.
I'm sorry. What is this, like... Pikachu?
Someone's been doing some mad science shit.
It's then going to move...
Go, Electro. Oh, get back here, you fucker.
It's going to move there.
Stop that.
You've got an attack of opportunity if you want it, Amaranth.
Yes. And because I used power attack...
You have to keep power attack on, yeah.
Yes, okay. 21 to hit.
I'm afraid that doesn't hit.
Oh, what?
Come on.
I've been rolling very well.
You have. Oh.
Unfortunately, this thing is fucking tough. Lunamote.
What the hell? All right, cool. So I'm going to run to... I want to try and, like, run and, like, jump through the broken window and, like, tumble to keep running.
I mean, that's obviously going to be an acrobatics check then, isn't it? Who could have guessed that?
And it's almost like, oh, wait, I foresaw what I was going to do and rolled a natural 20 on it automatically.
You did. Oh, my God.
So I managed to get just outside the window. And it's now gone out of my vision. I can't see it.
You're on top of Amaranth currently.
Oh, I guess I'll go to the side then.
So unless you're planning to barrel right into Amaranth.
I couldn't see Amaranth. I was just focused. And I guess I'm gonna.
It is like after 5 p.m. So like it is quite dark now.
Okay.
Because it is still winter.
Okay. And then I'm gonna cast light on one of my daggers.
Okay. You're gonna cast light. So let me just give you some light.
Wait, Emlyn shot at the thing, right?
Yeah.
So if it's got a bullet in it. It's
in it, yes.
Yeah, it dimly illuminates a 5-foot square, the bullet does.
Yeah, with a bullet inside it.
How deep inside?
How deep is your love?
I mean, for this thing, not very.
You cannot see any light coming from
it. Fine. Yeah, I'm going to cast light on my dagger then.
There you are. I've given you light.
Thanks.
Okay, top of the round. Amaranth, I am going to ask you to please give me a perception check as a free part of your turn.
Ooh.
Technically, it's a free part of last turn, but we'll do it now.
Okay. That is an 18.
You noticed the creature definitely could have pummeled you into the ground if it had wanted to, but in its other hand, it was carrying a small green-coloured statuette.
What?
Okay.
And that's where we're going to leave it this week.
What? No! What? What? Yeah. What is going on?
Who knows? I mean, I know.
Heist.
Weird shit going on in Lapidstad, guys.
I just wanted to go home and, like, catch up with people and chill. There's, like, a fucking... Whatever the fuck this is.
This I fucking rude. Hate cities, man. Sexy behavior.
Our intro music is The Descent by Kevin MacLeod. Our outro music is Unpromised by Kevin MacLeod. Find more of his music by visiting incompetech.filmmusic.io. The other music in this episode was provided by Sirenscape, providers of epic sound effects, ambience, and background music for tabletop RPGs. Visit Sirenscape.com for more information. The Pathfinder role-playing game and the Carrion Crown Adventure Path are owned by Paizo Inc. and are used under Paizo's community use policy. This podcast is not published, endorsed, or approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo and the Pathfinder role-playing game, visit Paizo.com.